The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hour number two of The Starting Lineup is on the air. We're broadcasting live from my neck of the woods. Pop's Specialty Donuts. It is my favorite thing to have for breakfast. My kid loves the classic donuts. The wife, she enjoys the red velvet. That is the one that she likes to go with. We get them all. But Pop's Original Donuts in Rocky Hill on the corner of North Shore and Morrell Road. We have Philip here from Pop's Donuts with us. It's National Donut Day.
What a day, right?
Yes. I'm excited. Maybe
a
little too excited.
One of the biggest days of the year, right?
it's also known as Fatboy Paradise Day. So,
absolutely.
And we were at the place to do it right here, Pop's Original Donuts. How are you, Philip?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So, National Donut Day.
It's a great day. So, thank you, social media, for coming up with this wonderful day. I don't know where this was 10, 15 years ago, but you know what? We'll take it. So it's just a great day to get together and get put out a bunch of donuts. And we've got a couple of local charities that we're helping out today, too. We've got some little, I don't know how you say, drawings, giveaways.
Yeah, giveaways, drawings.
Yeah.
You can come get signed up for here.
Yeah, so, you know, we want people to come in, and we want to try to give back at the same time.
I have mentioned, so we don't live, we're like, I'm a mile from here, right? It's where we are. And Avery, when I get her from school, we roll through here and at about 4 o'clock every day. And so sometimes we stop in the parking lot. Most times we stop in the parking lot and end up finding ourselves in here every day on the way in.
I do notice your car. Now that I see it, I do see it here,
like,
quite a bit.
I really thought that person that had that car worked here.
I thought,
right?
Maybe you worked here. But.
But the donuts are fantastic. My favorite, I like... What you guys do with the French cream is unbelievable. So I am the chocolate cake with chocolate icing I love, but usually what I'll get is the French cream donut, and then I'll get either a maple bacon or the fruity pebble donut.
I tell you, the apple fritter there is a huge seller.
That wife likes that. She likes the old fashioned too, and the cinnamon roll.
Cinnamon rolls, the old. Like I say, that's a New Orleans. That's New Orleans donut there.
Okay,
that is a kind of like if you wanted to say a fried pound cake.
Yeah.
And then that salted caramel, that's one of my favorites.
That is a good one. So what the red velvet? If you've never had the red velvet donut here, it is unbelievable. You guys also, I mean, there's a lot of places that are like, would you like a donut? Yes. Let's see if your loan goes through. And so if you can get approved, and you go talk to a loan. It's very affordable here at Pop's Original Donuts, right?
So we wanted to bring a really good donut, of course, and at a very affordable price. That's what we were thinking a couple of years ago when we got into this business. So, and it's been well, you know. I mean, you throw in a pandemic, but other than that, everything's fine, you know.
Tell me about the Fingas, because it's the only place I've ever seen that has the Fingas. They are great. It almost, I got to be honest, though, sometimes when I see the price of a dozen Fingas, I'm like, I don't know if this is like somewhere where they don't understand the exchange rate or something like that.
So where that came from is my partner, Bob Petroni, who was a longtime Knoxville guy. He, I guess, was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and there was a grocery store there however many years ago used to sell. When he was a kid, he would go get these finger-shaped donuts, and that was one of the things that he wanted to do when we opened up here, and that's how the Fingas started.
Yeah, so it's fantastic. They're like $3.99 for a dozen of them, and they're just delicious. And that's I'm telling you, it's incredibly affordable. It's a fantastic product. They have such an incredible different variety. And you guys are going to be open until 5 o'clock today.
Open
until
5 o'clock today, until we sell out, which I hope we shouldn't be selling out anytime soon. But yeah, we'll be here till 5 o'clock, and lots of giveaways. There's an opportunity to win a dozen donuts for an entire year.
There you go.
We've got some gift cards. What else? We're doing, a donut wall party and just some things to give back to all these people that are going to come in and help support these charities.
Yeah, which is great. Again, proceeds going to two different charities today, court-appointed special advocates. They represent the interest of children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases and the Little Ponderosa Zoo. And so when you come in and you buy here at Pop's Donuts, you know you're supporting those two great charities at the same time. And Honeybee Coffee. So if somebody's out there driving right now, you know you want a cup of coffee, stop by here, Pop's Donuts, get you a donut with that. And Honeybee Coffee, whether it's cold brew, iced or latte, they've got it for you. Or drip coffee from Honeybee Coffee, you can get it at Pop's Donuts, North Shore Drive and Morrell Road. Glad you guys have done well during the pandemic and handled everything well. The sanitation, social distancing has been, because I'll just be honest, I may or may not have been here 8 to 12, 15, 17, 21 times or so during the pandemic. So you guys have, I've always been impressed with the staff here every time, man.
Awesome. Well, you know what? For some reason, people like to eat donuts, even though there's...
Especially when they're really delicious. Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. The key is make really delicious donuts and sell them cheap. And if you do that, people continue
people
to show up.
People will come. Yes, yeah. They will. And thank you. Thank you, Rocky Hill. Thank you, Knoxville. Everybody's been wonderful to us. So come by, grab you some donuts, maybe win something, and help out one of these local charities.
Yeah, if you're looking on social media, Pops OG Donuts on Instagram or Twitter, you can do that. Philip, thank you, man.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. Eric Kane, I feel like we're rubbing it in on Eric Kane a little bit because, again, Kaner's sitting at the office right now. The air conditioner had a power surge. The air conditioner is out right now. And he's also not getting donuts.
It's not nice. It's a little unfair. I'm a little bitter about it, but... all I'm saying is if you come by and drop a little red velvet cupcake off on top of my car at the building, then I can go down and get it. We're all good.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll just say we'll make sure a donut gets to you. A red velvet donut gets to you.
Yeah.
As long as they don't sell out by the 9 o'clock when we get here. But look, they're open until 5 o'clock. That is not going to happen. They've got donuts on donuts on donuts. And I'm not kidding when I said that. I wasn't just saying it is really, really, really inexpensive, and the product is spectacular at Pop's Donuts, North Shore Drive, Morrell Road. We'll come back with the COVID-19 report. Adam Litton from News Talk 98.7 joins us next. This is the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Time for a Tennessee Lottery Sports Update.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee football class of 2021 commit Nate Evans has flipped from the Vols to NC State. The defensive back had been committed to Tennessee since November. Tennessee still ranks number 2 in the country for the class with 23 known commits. The NBA Board of Governors officially approved a 22-team season restart to begin the 31st of July in Orlando, Florida. The vote passed 29-1 with the belief of the Portland Trailblazers being the lone team to vote no, according to ESPN. Teams will begin training in Orlando starting July the 9th. The league also announced the NBA draft lottery will be set for August 25th with the draft on October 15th. The 2020-2021 NBA season will likely begin on December the 1st. The NHL and NHL Players Association have agreed that the qualifying round of the 2014 playoff tournament will be a best-of-five series with all four playoff rounds best-of-seven series. The two sides also announced that the tournament will not be bracketed. Instead, it'll be reseeded after every round. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said the league is still on track to have training camps open in July. It's 7:10. We're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. COVID-19 report with Adam Litton of New Talk 98.7 coming up next on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Yep. Live from Pop's Donuts, where we do it, National Donut Day. Corner North Shore Drive and Morrell Road. We're going to make sure Eric Kane actually gets some donuts. So yep. Those of us, we are only trolling him. He will get his donuts, but not until after 9 o'clock when I've had about 4. So he will have to wait until then. I do see this. We will have the first, I guess, one on June 19th. We're going to have Tottenham's first game. Man United is going to face off at Hotspur Stadium against Tottenham. So I am excited about that. So we have everything coming back. We know when training camp's opening for the NFL. We know when and how that's going to go down. Everything but Major League Baseball is there. I don't know if you saw this last night from Tony Clark, though, Eric. Major League Baseball, it says that the latest proposal from the owners is a big no thank you, and they want some more concessions when it comes to COVID testing and things like that. Players do, but they are still talking. At what point do we have to get where we say, I'm concerned there's not a baseball season? Because I know Bob Nightingale and Jeff Passan and John Heyman all said that if it doesn't get done this week, there is no baseball mid-July.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because even at the worst case scenario, you got to get in 50 games and then you'll have a playoffs. And so if you don't, again, you got to, there's different levels you have to attain before you can get to the point to where you can play ball. And, you know, the process hasn't even started yet. They're still so far apart. And I was encouraged by the last line of that memo that was sent out and said, you know, we are still encouraged. We're still talking. We're still trying to find a solution. But you're right. I mean, it's starting to get to one point where as the weeks continue to go by, this is a big week for baseball. It feels like it's been a big week for baseball the last couple of weeks and with no avail. And here we are again.
And here's the other concern I have as well. At what point is it just not worth having a baseball season? And like as a fan, I'll take baseball if you give it to me for just the month of August. Hey, the NBA is not coming back until then. If you give me just the month of August, September, October, and into early November, that's fine. I will tell you these. I know that they need television revenue. I know that these leagues need some kind of revenue, and having the sport's better than not having a sport. You are going to get just obliterated by football when it comes back. So if you think anybody's watching your product, good luck, especially if we have the World Series and the NBA Finals or the MLB playoffs and the NBA Finals at the same time. Good luck going up against football with that, guys.
Yeah, seriously.
Have to split your audience that way. Adam Litton from Newstalk 98.7 joins us now with a COVID-19 report. Adam, how are you, man?
Doing well, guys. The word came in yesterday. We talked about this earlier in the week, but a judge saying that Tennessee must give all of its voters the option to cast ballots by mail because of the coronavirus come in August. That's from Chancellor Chancellor Lyle at Nashville, saying the state's limit on absentee voting during the pandemic constitutes an unreasonable burden on the fundamental right to vote guaranteed by the Constitution. Now, state leaders have said it's not feasible to do at this point, and there's likely going to be appeal to this ruling, but as it stands now, a judge saying absentee ballot voting going to be available for all Tennesseans come August.
So I did see that Governor Lee and the Economic Recovery Group announced that they're going to allow larger community events to happen, right? That's in not Knox County, but 89 of the 95 counties that don't have a proper health department. Is that correct?
Yeah. Those 89 counties, again, not including Knox County, Shelby, those larger counties, Hamilton also included in that. Can start having larger events. Mostly applies to events like fairs and festivals, the expos, parades, all that going to be allowed to start opening back up. Now, we don't have any official word of any of those happening right at the moment, but again, in those 89 counties across the state, you can start having those larger events start occurring across the state.
Yeah, so what does it look like in Knox County right now?
Well, the numbers continue to go up. We saw 11 new cases reported yesterday, and that's kind of been that trickle up that we've seen in the last several days and last week or so. Not the huge number we saw on Tuesday, but again, the continual increase. Health Department continues to say they're not as concerned about that increase so much as there are other metrics they keep looking at. They say this is about the only metric that's increasing, and they expect it to increase as we open back up because they're getting more contacting with other people. And so they just say follow the social distancing guidelines, you know, wear the face mask, wash your hands, do those things, and we'll keep the for the most part the coronavirus at bay.
Okay, so I did free pandemic child care. I did see that you said that free pandemic child care has been extended through August. Correct?
Yeah, they've had that for a while. It's a great thing. You know, if you're in those essential care workers, they did this especially, you know, in the months of May and March when it got pretty tough there for a lot of people having to go back to work, and there was, I mean, new child cares weren't even open. So they have this free pandemic child care for these essential workers. Just go on the Tennessee the Department of Human Services website, check it out, and get to that health care for, again, essential workers.
All right. So, Adam, anything else that the public needs to know there?
Well, the two big things yesterday as well was the unemployment numbers. 314,000 people in Tennessee filed those numbers last week, which, again, is stayed about pretty consistent, but historic numbers across the state. And then Tennessee Governor Bill Lee administration proposing another $284 million in budget cuts on top of the nearly $400 million he's already proposed.
Okay. So that's on top of the nearly $400
million. Yeah, so now that puts us almost over $600 million in cuts. They're saying that revenue shortfall of $1.5 billion through the next budget year. So some big numbers we're talking about here.
Those are big numbers. Do we know what areas that we're looking at possibly seeing some cuts?
I mean, they've not addressed it specifically. I know he's asking for all departments to look for revenue saving and ways to cut, but they haven't been announced yet.
Okay. So, $1.5 billion revenue shortfall. And, man, COVID-19. Just absolutely crushed everybody. The numbers are slightly trickling up. Am I wrong to think that that's a little that's kind of positive news? Like, we expected the numbers to go up, but what we've not seen the big major spike that really, frankly, anyone thought we would see by the time we got to this point, right?
Yeah, really, because you always want to say you're looking for those exponential increases. That you don't just go from, you know, 5 to 6 to 10. You go from 5 to 10 to 20 to 40 to 100. Those are the increases that really start scaring people, because then you start having that exponential spread. That's really what they're more concerned about than, okay, well, we saw 10 cases today and maybe 11 cases tomorrow, but we went back down to 5. That means the spread's still being fairly well contained, But again, even just the spread's not necessarily their concern. They're worried about a lot of the other metrics, including hospitalization rates, capacity levels, how much we're actually testing. They say all those metrics have been extremely positive through Knox County.
Adam, you've been kind of tracking these numbers throughout this whole process better than, you know, anybody here in Knox County. And SEC beginning workouts on June the 8th, you're starting to see student-athletes come back on campuses. Tennessee will begin workouts here next week. But reports out of Alabama, five football players have already tested positive for COVID-19, just being on campus. Kind of what's your thoughts in that regard? Is that a surprise to you? And what should we expect potentially as student-athletes return to campus, even though they're screening and they're taking precautions, that those numbers will go up?
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to see more cases. I think that just goes in line with everything we're seeing. The question is, how do you respond to that? I mean, what do you do with those five players? What do you do if you get people on campus that do get sick, because they're going to have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks? And how do you make that work for the program if it's, a star running back or quarterback or those different elements? But it's not surprising to me. The good point about that always is, and especially the numbers for people of college age and students, that, I mean, they're the very, very low risk category, extremely low death rates, even hospitalization rates, and a lot of them are asymptomatic as well. So that's the hard part, though, is it's hard to catch them, so you don't want to have that kind of person on campus in contact with maybe a higher risk coach or somebody that's older or a faculty member. But those are the things they're going to have to manage as the university gets back in the fall, and especially as players returning back to campus.
All right, so let me ask you, am I wrong today, because I've made the argument this morning that schools need to report publicly when they have players that test positive? We've seen two that have, one reported it publicly in Oklahoma State. Alabama clearly leaked it out because everybody that covers Alabama football had it. But am I wrong to think that schools need to leak this to make sure that they announce this publicly? Because this is a public health issue, right?
I see no issue with really. I mean, again, you get into, I can't remember the term, health rights, releasing information for students, the HIPAA and those things. Exactly. You can't do that for health reasons, but you can still say, we had cases, we had this happen, we're taking steps.
This many cases, and this is what we're doing,
and
right?
You just do the same thing that Knox County is doing, say, here's the numbers, we can't give you specifics, but this is what the trends we're seeing, because you do want to know if there is an outbreak on campus. I mean, that's going to incredibly much affect how you look at campus and your kids there, and makes you feel better or worse about being there, and make your choices based on that information. But again, it'll be interesting to see with the HIPAA laws and those kind of things, but how they address that. But I totally agree. I think they should.
Yeah, so I hope that happens. I wish that the SEC would mandate that, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be the case. And again, I find it hard to believe that Alabama had five cases, Oklahoma State had three cases, plus another player who admitted himself that he tested positive for COVID-19. And none of these other schools that have players back have had anybody test positive yet.
Yeah,
I find
just
that very hard to believe.
It's not likely, obviously. And again, the question is, how many people have been asymptomatic and just never been tested? But at the same time, there have more cases out there. It's not possible.
Yeah, that's Adam Linden from our sister station, News Talk 98.7. Adam, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I see you guys.
COVID-19 report here. Adam Linden from our sister station, News Talk 98.7. We're live from Pop's Donuts. It is National Donut Day. They have got great giveaways here at Pop's Donuts. You can stop by and get yourself signed up. Today, two different charities that actually a portion of the proceeds are going to go to from today's sales: Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue, and court-appointed special advocates that represent the people that represent the best interests of children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases. It's local. It's a nonprofit organization. We have communities all over the nation, including here. But you can stop by here, eat fantastic, delicious donuts, and benefit those two great charities here at Pop's Donuts, corner of North Shore Drive and Morrell Road. We'll come back with five.
Hey, real quick. Sorry, I know we're up against it, but kind of on this note, did you see with the NBA that Adam Silver said coaches at high risk, potentially like older coaches, potentially won't be on the bench when they return?
Because the reason why is the CDC has said people over the age of, I think, 67 or 65. But I think I saw both numbers that they are at a higher risk. And so Greg Popovich, who was, I think, 68, 69.
Alvin Gentry, 65.
Yeah, you've got Mike D'Antoni, so 71. So yeah. I think that because of that, you might not see some guys on the bench. I know the coaches weren't happy about that, but I understand his point of view.
I mean, yeah, Gentry came out and said, well, how am I going to coach if I'm not on the bench? And he was like, well, is everyone under 60 years old and in perfect health? I mean, not everyone. And so that could potentially be for all sports, but, for the NBA is what it just kind of came out there. I mean, that could be a huge storyline moving forward. Could you imagine not having your head coach on the bench there with you? I mean,
not having Nick Saban on the sideline?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, yeah. That's something to pay attention to
now,
sure.
College athletics isn't going to tell the coaches you can't do anything you want to do. But in the NBA, Adam Silver will. And so that will be a very interesting storyline You're absolutely right.
In football, too, you can put some coaches in the box. But then again, if you're in the box, it's close quarters. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that is no, but you're right, though. We saw Hugh Freeze coach from the box. Mm-hmm. We saw Joe Paterno towards the end of his career coach from the box. So it's not outlandish to do that. Coordinators are up there a lot. But guys like Saban and people like that not being on the sideline would be really, really weird.
Yeah.
I will say that. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Five Burning Questions is next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
92 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Live from Pop's Donuts, National Donut Day going on as we speak, and I'm about halfway through one of the old red velvet donuts. I already had a chocolate cake with chocolate icing donut, and it was delicious here. The French cream is fantastic, the sea salt caramel, the maple bacon, the Oreo, the apple fritters, New Orleans buttermilk, all the donuts here at Pop's. It's so many different donut options for you. Very, very reasonably priced at Pop's Donuts right now. You'll absolutely love the people at Pop's Donuts as well. The service is always great. Located in Rocky Hill, the corner of North Shore and Morrell Road. Remember, when you get here, you can sign up to win some fantastic prizes. And on top of that, a portion of proceeds going to benefit two different charities, Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue and court-appointed special advocates, which represent the best interest of children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases. Will West, Eric Kane here with you, 656-9900. Time now for five burning questions.
Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, mano-a-mano. It's time for five burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections, saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
All right, Will, should the Bills cut bait with Jake Fromm?
I think at some point in time they're going to have to, but I would try to let leadership within that locker room work with him. Jake Fromm's going to get his backside handed to him, and Jake Fromm should get his backside handed to him for that. But maybe it makes Jake Fromm a better person. He's a young person. You don't just throw away young people. You correct young people. And this is a great teaching opportunity for the veteran men in that locker room to teach Jake Fromm how you act.
Yeah, and that's what the defensive coordinator for the Bills came out and said yesterday, saying that I expect the leaders, the leadership committee, the captains of this team to step forth and to try to not only confront it but educate it and try to, you know, have these tough conversations we've been talking about all week long, and hopefully Jake Fromm become a better man out of it. Hopefully he can learn, and you never want to just cut bait, like you said, with someone young when you have a chance to try to shift them, make them better person. So I don't think it's going to happen right now. I mean, eventually, I mean, he's a fifth-round draft pick. You know, we'll have to see. You know, that's just kind of a life of a fifth-round draft pick as a quarterback. But right now, I don't think so. Can Mike Norvell survive at FSU?
So Norvell yesterday, if you didn't see it, Mike Norvell did a piece of The Athletic where he said he reached out to every one of his players to let them know he supports them and they can speak out on any social issues they want to. And one of the senior defensive captains said, no, he didn't. We got a generated text message sent to each player. There was no interaction. This didn't happen. Mike Norvell, apparently, according to the players, held a team meeting yesterday, apologized to them, and told them he has no problem with them holding him accountable via social media, which is, while that's new for college athletics, I do think he's going to make it.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. You just flat out got caught in a lie. Like, why are you lying about this? I mean, it's embarrassing to begin with, but how he responded holding that team meeting, and then Marvin Wilson, the defensive tackle senior that called him out on it, issued a tweet yesterday, a video, 2-minute long video, saying, I appreciate Mike Norvell for, you know, fessing up and saying that he was wrong, but also appreciate him holding the team meeting, saying that, number one, we're all going to be registered to vote. Number two, we're going to, you know, help the community here and around the Tallahassee area. Number three, we're going to hold classes to educate so we can all, you know, come out of this together stronger. So Norvell embarrassingly made a mistake, bald-faced lied. But he's come back and he's made the most of this type of situation. I think he's going to be fine. The players will not forget this, certainly, but I think the players have forgiven and they're all just ready to move on for the season. Is Max Kellerman right? Is hockey no longer one of the four major team sports in America?
He's not. And here's how I look at it. Are you talking about what do people play, or are you talking about what do people watch? The numbers are really close for Premier League versus regular season National Hockey League games. Sometimes the Premier League wins, some very rarely the National Hockey League will win, even on the same network. But when you talk about Stanley Cup playoffs, you're about 7-8 million people that might watch a game. So because of that, hockey is still one of the big four as far as I'm concerned, Eric.
No, it absolutely is. I mean, in terms of people watching, still watching the NHL, maybe playing, probably more kids starting to play soccer. Soccer is growing and growing and growing. And I think eventually, here in North America, I mean, it has everywhere else. Here in North America, I think soccer will overtake hockey before it's all said and done. But I do not agree with him. I think hockey is still that number four because, as you pointed out, Stanley Cup Finals each and every year. It's one of the biggest events in sports. And it's got the best post-game award ceremony there is because it's all live on television.
Yeah, it is. No, it's fantastic. I will tell you this. If the MLS gets their – until the MLS gets their stuff together and runs their soccer league like a legitimate soccer league, it will always be behind the NHL for in my lifetime, I believe. But that's why the Premier League's passed it up. But if the MLS ever gets their stuff together and runs it like a real soccer league – you will see within a half decade, I think, soccer overtake hockey.
Yeah, I do think it's coming. I really do. And again, it's so funny because globally, soccer is number one.
It's not close.
Yeah.
So you know what's weird? I looked this up yesterday after he said that because I was like, well, as far as like what people are watching, what is that, and what people are playing? You know what number one is globally? It is association football. They call it soccer.
Yeah.
You know what number two is?
It's got to be baseball, right?
Cricket.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I was like. Okay, you know, sometimes, though, you do see guys over at Lakeshore playing cricket out on the field.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of rad.
Wow, that is cool.
I'll take the dog over there to walk.
Man, that is cool. Yeah, it's just weird, though. And, again, we could spend a whole show talking about this, but when you grow up, you play soccer. And then whenever you get, you know, of the age, you start playing other sports. It's weird, but I do think soccer will eventually overtake hockey.
So when we grew up, from the time you're 5 years old, I guess T-ball before that, but from the time you're 5 years old, when I was growing up, and again, I'm about, 15 years older than you?
No.
It was, you played football, baseball, basketball. That's what you played.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't know that there was the option for me to play soccer. So I think by the time, did you play soccer when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I mean, it was T-ball and soccer all growing up, and then I stopped playing soccer and started playing baseball, and it was baseball, basketball, football.
Yeah, and a lot of times they do think that maybe starting kids out too early on football is what's leading to some of the CTE problems,
yeah.
And it might be my problem as well.
Yeah, and I didn't play football until middle school, so there's
Did
that.
You really not? Okay.
Nope, I did not.
I was 6 years into playing football by the time I got to middle school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it. In Georgia, they started out. Dad was pastor for church in Georgia at the time. I literally played for 6 years, and then I played middle school ball in seventh grade, and then in eighth grade, I played eighth grade ball.
Man, that's crazy.
Yep.
All right, a couple more left. Today is Sam Darnold's 23rd birthday. Will Darnold ever be a top 10 quarterback in the game?
No. I think he's going to be somewhere in that Kirk Cousins land where maybe, okay, I will say this. I'll change it to yes, and I know I'm kind of hedging my bet here. I think he flirts with the top 10. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think he's never going to be in the top 5, but I do think he's going to be a guy that's like Kirk Cousins where 1 minute I say he's top 10, the next minute it's just based on the injuries and the health of the people around him. But he'll be in that fringe area.
You know, it's weird because when we do the NFL reports on Sunday mornings, you know, during the season, that's, you know, say your top 10 quarterbacks, and Kirk Cousins usually is around in there. He's usually in there. But if I'm picking 10 quarterbacks out of the league right now, Kirk Cousins isn't in that top 10. So it's just kind of weird with the Kirk Cousins comparison. But I'm going to say no as well. I think Sam Darnold has some talent. It's got to get there. I don't think that he has any help around him, especially right now. It's not the best type of situation. Doesn't have a very good head coach.
That's the wrong team, right? That's the wrong team for him to be. You usually got to be a freak athlete. But he's got the wrong team for him to try to be a top 10 player, top 10 quarterback right now.
And not to mention, I mean, yeah, there's the veteran quarterbacks that are going to be retiring, you know, one by one here pretty soon. But there's still so much young talent that's already better than Sam Darnold. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Of course, today is National Donut Day. What's the best donut?
All right, it actually is here at Pop's Donuts. I'm not just saying that because I'm here. I live a mile from here, and it's delicious. The chocolate-covered French cream. That is the one, the chocolate-iced French cream that they have. That is the best donut that exists in the entire world. I'm a maple bacon donut guy as well, but the chocolate iced French cream donut here at Pops is the best one you can possibly have.
I remember when Pops, a couple years ago when I first started working here, brought over some donuts, and I saw the maple bacon, and I looked at it. I was like, man, I don't see how that works. It does not look, you know, my first impression was like, I don't know if that's going to work. I tried it. Woo! So good. Love the maple bacon. Love the Oreo. But again, I've been pounding the table all morning long. Looking forward to it later after the show.
Red velvet one.
I want that red velvet.
It's a real cream cheese icing on that bad boy as well. Not that fake cream cheese icing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I'm halfway through this red velvet donut I'm having right now, Kaner.
Hey, serious count though.
And again,
how many donuts
tell you?
How many donuts have you eaten?
One and a half.
Okay, that's not bad.
Well, so that's not bad. Not bad at all.
My phone is talking to me now.
Yeah, Siri's trying to order some donuts. That's what's going on.
They're that good.
That is five burning questions brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. LSITN.com for Life Safety Inspections. Folks, most likely there's fire extinguishers in your home or in your business. They're made in Mexico, and they have a 30% fail rate. Life Safety Inspections can get you into an American-made model with a 0.001% fail rate that is less expensive. LSITN.com for Life Safety Inspections. We'll come back with the final segment of hour number two of the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
NASCAR announced by virtue of a random draw, Chase Elliott will start on the pole for Sunday's race in Atlanta. The league also announced it'll run its annual All-Star Race July 15th in Charlotte. 24/7 Sports is reporting at least five Alabama football players have tested positive for the coronavirus since returning to campus this week. Voluntary in-person athletic activities are set to resume on SEC campuses June the 8th. The NCAA announced on Thursday that its deadline for players to withdraw from NBA draft consideration and maintain collegiate eligibility will be either August the 3rd or 10 days after the NBA draft combine, whichever day comes first. Tennessee's Eve Pons is going through the NBA draft process now, but hired an NCAA certified agent, giving him the option to return if he so chooses. Saints quarterback Drew Brees issued an apology Thursday morning for his comments on disrespecting the flag, saying he completely missed the mark on current issues in the country and that it breaks my heart to know the pain that I've caused. And also, Bills rookie quarterback issued an apology, Jake Fromm, formerly of Georgia, for a text message conversation that occurred back in 2019 where he said only elite white people should be allowed to purchase guns. It's 7:41. We're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Never open a Snapchat from him when you're around loved ones. Will West and a starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Live from Pop's Donuts, National Donut Day. Pop's Original Donuts, if you've never been here before, North Shore Drive and Morrell Road, it is National Donut Day. You get an opportunity to win up to enter to win fantastic prizes, and a portion of all proceeds going to go benefit two fantastic charities, CASA of East Tennessee. It is court-appointed special advocates. They're the ones that represent the interests of children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases, and Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue. Whenever you come by here at Pop's Donuts today for National Donut Day, open until 5 o'clock. You're going to have an opportunity to help raise money for those two great charities as well. Stop by and see us here. Pop's Donuts will be here until 9 o'clock. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. A lot of times when the pandemic started, we thought we'd be without sports. We thought we'd do something silly because everybody has like a notebook of evergreen topics or just different topics that they're going to use over the summer that you kind of come up with. Over the other 9 months, and you just keep this notebook with a list of the topics that you'll do when there really aren't sports. Because day in, day out, you can't talk about baseball the way that you can talk about some other sports. But so what we decided to do was make it a little more interesting than that. We've given a number of topics to Eric Kane. Eric Kane puts those topics onto a wheel. He spins the wheel, and we call it the Wheel of Content. What is our topic for us today, Eric Kane?
All right, the Wheel of Content topic here on a Friday. The top five sports 5 years from now. Five sports 5 years from now. You know, we just had the discussion here in Five Burning Questions about is hockey still number four in the Big Four, and we both agree that it is. So 5 years from now, what's the top five?
Okay, I'm going to start here, and I think there will be one major sport in 5 years. And I know that's quick. I think if you said 10 years, I'd say without question. There's one major sport. The 5 years, though, I will say football is the only major sport. I think every other sport will become boutique to some extent. It's already kind of like football and then a massive drop off, and then yeah. NBA, Major League Baseball, then a massive drop off, then the NHL and NASCAR and soccer kind of in that conversation with them now when it comes to the ratings. But I will start, look at that, Brian Rice signing local celebrity.
Whoa.
Shaking babies and kissing hands. Look at him. So excited to have him here.
No,
so
he loves some Pop's Donuts, says yeah, Brian
well,
Rice.
No, he don't. Well, Brian's Rocky Hill guy like I am. So, yeah, good to see Brian Rice supporting the locals. So I think that in 5 years what you'll see is one major sport, and that's football. Number two will be baseball. And I know that we talk about baseball is doing everything it can to shoot itself in the foot right now. I think there's going to be such a massive drop-off in popularity in the NBA once LeBron James is gone. And in 5 years, LeBron won't be here, or at least if he is still playing, he will not be good. And I think that is going to be problematic. I wonder, given his other interests and his history of injury, if 5 years, does Steph Curry still play? And Kevin Durant's probably not good in 5 years. So who's coming up behind those guys that are going to replace that kind of star power? I don't know who it is. I don't know. Look, I like Freak. He ain't that. And there's nobody else young that's even in the conversation to be that kind of thing. We're about to see the greatest drop-off in talent we've ever seen in the National Basketball Association at one time within the next 5 years. So for me, it's NFL one. If baseball doesn't shoot themselves in the foot this year or next year, baseball two, NBA three, NHL four, soccer will be five. And again, soccer would surpass the NHL if soccer had a legitimate league in the United States of America, but the MLS will not run a legitimate soccer league.
So in 5 years, it's still much like it is now. NFL's king, number one, significant drop-off. Then you have, I'm going to still say, the NBA. The NBA is being pumped through ESPN. Now, Will, tell me, how long are these contracts with ESPN?
It was 20 years that they signed about 7-8 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you get so much NBA, so much content on the four-letter network. I mean, even the talk shows throughout the day, even when it's, you know, the heart of, I'll never forget, I think it was not this past college football national championship, but the one before that. It was, you know, Alabama-Clemson kicking off tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, and they're talking about LeBron, you know, during Stephen A's show. It's just like, I mean, come on. Like, it's so much content driven towards the NBA for ESPN. So
they're propping it up. They're trying everything they can to prop it up.
Exactly. And there's a lot, and I understand LeBron, Durant, Steph, all those guys, you know, sooner or later they're going to start dropping off and or start retiring, but there's still a lot of young talent. Not to the magnitude, but I think Jaw's going to be a superstar. Giannis is a superstar. What can Zion bring to the table? I think there's a lot of good players still, plus with the propped up content of ESPN, I think NBA is still going to be there, number two.
Yeah, so here's what I'm looking at for the NBA, and if I look at players under 25, because Harden's going to be 36, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be particularly good.
You got Westbrook that's up there in age.
Yeah, Westbrook will be about the same time. And again, that's 5 years from now.
Yeah.
So you got Giannis, Joel Embiid, Porzingis, Ben Simmons. Jokic is a guy that's great, but nobody knows it. Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, who I like, Jason Tatum, who I like. Man, ain't nobody turning the TV on to watch these guys play.
I think Jokic could be a star.
Jokic could be an absolute. Yeah. He should be a superstar now, but he's in Denver, and he's a foreign guy, so it is what it is. But I love Giannis. Embiid's a bum. Simmons is a bum. Porzingis is a bum. Towns is a bum. Booker's a bum.
They fight like bums.
Donovan, they don't fight. They sit and hug and roll around the floor. Yeah. My brother and I hit each other harder than those guys hit each other. when we were five. Donovan Mitchell's great. He's a really good player. Jason Tatum's a really good player. Doncic is a really good player. Anthony Davis is there. I think without Ja Morant, let's see. He could be a guy that steps into that conversation. I don't think people are going to turn on the TV to watch Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies, though, if they have other options. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be star player that drives eyeballs like that.
One point in time, it was like that with Steph and the Warriors, though.
It was.
But they obviously got
some. Part of that, too, was Steph and who Steph Curry is as a human being.
No.
That helped that. It was a lot of parents wanted their kids to like Steph, and that helped because of who Steph and what Steph represents and who he is off the court.
Yeah. So I'll have 5 years from now, it's the NFL drop-off. NBA for me is number two still. Major League Baseball is number three.
So you're still baseball at three.
Yes. The NHL will still be significant drop-off here. The NHL will still be at 4 or 5 years from now, but – you know, soccer, I think in 10, 15 years, soccer might slot in that number four, but 5 years from now, it's still NHL at four, and then at five, I'll have soccer, or at five, I'll have golf, and six will be soccer.
So I was a guy that I never, until I watched English soccer, I had no idea, like, how good soccer was, because it's minor league soccer is what the MLS is, or guys on the back end that are trying to just, you know what I mean, hang around the sport. It's kind of like when you see guys go play in the independent league when they're in their 40s in baseball. That's what it feels like the MLS is, just a little bit for the top soccer players. They also don't have a real league. I mean, not that it's not a real league, and they're making a ton of money. But if I think in America, if the MLS ever got to the point where they were willing to say, we're going to run 20 teams, we're going to have relegation, and we'll work with the USL and we'll work with MLS too, and we'll put together multiple layers of this. Because the idea that if your team doesn't win, they drop down to a completely different league and on completely different television, and it's going to be hard to find it. When it matters like that, that's what when it was one of the things that makes European soccer so interesting in those leagues, is because legitimately your team could be just done. And you're like, wait a minute, we're a minor league team now. And it could just be like, hey, the Yankees had a down year. They weren't good enough. Go to the minors until you figure this out and try to win your way back up to the majors. I think that American sports fans would eat that up. But until we get that, I don't think soccer is going to take the step everyone thinks it's going to.
Question for you. 10 years from now, let's go 5 more years in advance. 10 years from now, are the Rays still in Tampa Bay? Are the A's still in Oakland?
No.
Okay, so where are they?
Las Vegas.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
Nashville.
Does Nashville get a team in 10 years?
Yeah, I think Nashville probably gets an expansion team.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But I will say Charlotte maybe is where the Rays end up. I think there's a ton of support. Have you ever really like spent much time around the Tampa area, Tampa St. Pete area?
Not. It's been a while, so no.
There's a ton of support, right? Yeah. Every bar you go into, there is a good crowd of people sitting there. Like if you just go get something to eat, the beach bars. The problem is there's a beach, right? So people sit there at a beach bar on the beach, you know what I mean, overlooking the waves as they're watching their favorite team play. But everywhere you go, somebody's listening to the game, somebody's watching the game. I mean, and there's a solid crowd on a Tuesday night watching it. The problem is they're not going to go to Tropicana Field, and they're not going to get a new stadium. Yeah. So unless they get them a new stadium, people aren't going. As long as Tropicana's there, they're not going to go. If you've been to Tropicana Field, it's like going to a Costco.
I have tried the last 2 summers to go down there. It didn't work out last summer, and we have time right now, but there's no baseball. So with cheap flights at Allegiant, too, I'm very upset. But you're right. I haven't been there, but I'm hoping that I would love for Charlotte to get a team. I would love for Nashville to get a team. And then we can have that debate that you and Josh had on Sports 180. Are you pledging your allegiance still with your team, or are you going to support the in-state team if Nashville were to get a baseball? I mean, I love that conversation.
Yeah, so for me, where that works out is if they get an AL team. Because yeah. I think people will, that are Braves fans, say, well, that's my AL team, this is my NL team. That becomes a lot easier.
Unless I move to Nashville probably and cover. I mean, I will be a Braves fan forever. But you're right, I will always support the in-state team. I mean, why not? It's give your dollars, show your support. It'll help grow and all that. But it would be very interesting. I would love. I mean, my grandfather who I watched Braves games with, you know, growing up, is where I loved to, you know, be the Braves. He was a big old Yankees fan growing up. So things can change.
It can evolve. Okay, I do have from the secret text line. Can Zion Williamson be that guy that draws eyeballs and that fills the void for LeBron James?
Draws eyeballs, absolutely. Will he be a LeBron James? I don't think so.
Can he be that good? That's going to be the question. He's been very good. Can he be that level good?
I don't think so. I mean, LeBron is a once in a generational type talent, and I just it's hard to even, you know, project any player to do what LeBron James has done. And so I'm going to say no, but I think Zion's a freak. Zion's obviously pulling ratings, and he's a big part of the NBA's restart down in Orlando.
Yeah, look, freak in the Eastern Conference, Zion in the Western Conference. That would draw eyeballs. Yeah. I'll just say that. That would at least draw eyeballs for the finals. So fantastic text there that we were able to get. We'll come back on the other side. It is hour number 3 coming up of the starting lineup live from Pop's Original Donuts, North Shore Drive, and Morrell Road. It's National Donut Day here at Pop's Donuts. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.